to live a perfect life. He came to be the living word, our life. He came to die so we'd be reconciled. He came to rise to show his power and might. That's why we praise him. That's why we sing. That's why we offer him our everything. That's why we bow down and worship this king. Cause he gave his everything. Cause he gave his everything.
He came to live
again in us. He came to be our conquering king and friend. He came to heal and show the lost ones his love. He came to go prepare a place for us. That's why we praise him. That's why we sing. That's why we offer him our everything. That's why we bow down and worship this king. Cause he gave his everything. Cause he gave his everything.
Thank you, Roger. Well, many of you may know that our president declared today as a national day of prayer for the coronavirus and all that's affected. It's a nationwide pandemic, and certainly it's affecting every section of society. So I'm going to ask you this morning as we open in prayer that you'll just join me as we just lift this up and remember that God's still on the throne, that he is faithful. And one of the reasons we wanted to gather today, because in a time of fear and uncertainty, we can come hear about one that is steadfast and sure, that has never changed, and he's still in control. He knows all about this, and he will see us through. So let's just follow the president's directive today and to make this a matter of prayer. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for the opportunity to come and those that's gathered. Lord, I pray that we'll practice safety. We'll be smart about what we do here at church and not put anybody in jeopardy. And we do want to lift this virus up to you, God, that you would just cancel it out, that you would eradicate it, God, that you would find a cure for it. Immune systems would be stronger, God, if we resist this. And we pray, Lord, thy will be done. And somehow through it all, this will bring you glory. God, you place in our heart eternity. So let us get our minds off so much on this. And realize that we have a home in heaven one day when all this will be, won't even be a memory. It'll all be behind us. So, God, I pray you bless those that have gathered here today. God, hear our plea, our prayer. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Again, thank you out. Thank you for coming out today. I cannot encourage enough to practice safe practices, best practices, and all, everybody just move on. We got hand sanitizer throughout the church, and everybody just practiced and good measures. I think we will be fine. Now, it has done a lot to our schedule. Oh, by the way, if you're here for the very first time this morning, we welcome you. Hope you feel right at home. We would ask our first-time visitors, take just a moment and fill out this welcome visitor card here on the bulletin. Just fill it out completely, drop the collection plate when it comes around. And like I said, this has done a a lot to our schedule, so there's a lot of things going to be canceled today. The adult choir will practice right after the 11 o'clock service. The security meeting we're going to have today at 5 is canceled. The women and men's meeting on Thursday night are canceled. Remember the yard sale, it's not canceled, it's in April. Remember the wedding shower for Ethan Webb and Brooke Peters on Sunday, April 5th, 3 to 5, out in the gym. They're registered at Target, Bed Bath & Beyond, and Walmart. That's not listed there. And so remember this great couple there as they get ready to get married. And look at the Young at Heart, be going to the Wolford House Dinner Theater on Thursday, March to April the 9th. There's a sign up there at the back of the church. Deadline for sign up and payment is Sunday, March the 29th. You won't want to miss this. So make sure you get signed up there today. Get signed up to have your picture made. If you have pictures you want to submit, submit those. The Kairos cookies that's listed there, that has been put off to the fall. So there's no need to do that for right now. So just remember that. Then on the back, as far as I know, the fibromyalgia support group will meet on Saturday. If they don't, I'm sure they will let you know, you that come to that. The grief support class at Hope Community Church has been canceled for right now. We'll let you know when that takes place again. Also on Wednesday night, we's already off the 11th and the 18th for spring break. We will take the 25th off to follow the school schedule right now. So just remember that. The Fancy Gap readers, they tell me that you'll be notified when it's time to start back. We're going to cancel faith on Monday night for the month of March. We don't want to be going to people's homes. They don't know who we are, where we've been. So we think that's the best thing to do. So we'll reevaluate that come April. I'm not going to have my boys' class today at 3 o'clock. So we'll tell you when we'll start back with that. The quilting and ministry to moms will let you know if they're going to have theirs or not. So right now that's on until you hear that they are not. So just remember that. And I would ask our deacons if they can meet here Wednesday night at 7 o'clock and need everybody's input here and kind of reevaluate where we are and how we need to go forward. So if they can remember that Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. If you can't come, just let me know. I understand that's kind of a just an unusual time that we're going through right now. So everybody just do the best they can. So remember that. Any other announcements, Kitty, about music or?
Yes, but Gary's gone.
Any changes to any services will be posted on our Facebook page, on our website, or a call.
Yeah. Any changes to our services, just. So, yes, we're going to try to live stream all the services possible. We're going to work the kinks out today. So if people are having to stay home, and those that are compromised, they need to be home. We don't want to put anybody in jeopardy, so the live streaming will be for them. So just remember that. Anything else? This is uncharted territory. So we're trying to navigate it best we can. All right, the prayer list today, just notice that a lot of loss. Hallie Kern passed away. Many of you know her out here. Callie Horton Wilkins' husband Don passed away. Vinton Questenbury. So just remember those. Read and heed those. Want to add this morning Kathy Harris of knee surgery and also Steve Hill with cancer to the already long list. If you have names you want to add, take off, change the status up, whatever it might be, you let me know. Or Gary, we'll take care of it for you this morning.
I'll stand again if you would please, and we're going to sing Standing on the Promises.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal history the praises sing. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. resting in my Savior as my all in all, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God.
Well, you're singing on standing on the promises. Now you can be seated. I want you to hear a word from our IMB president, Paul Chitwood, about the coronavirus and how our missionaries are just still pressing on.
Paul Chitwood, president of the International Mission Board. In light of the vast amount of information you're hearing about the effect of the coronavirus around the world, I want to take the opportunity to share with you that your International Mission Board personnel are continuing to advance the gospel during these difficult days. We're living in unprecedented times. Many of us have never seen something of this scale in our lifetime, and while for us there are many unknowns about this pandemic, we rest assured in the providence of God. Please know that as the crisis unfolds, we have teams of people working around the clock to monitor the situation in every part of the globe where your missionaries serve. We're exercising wise caution throughout this crisis, and we're committed to continue seeking God's wisdom. We do not want your 3,700 missionaries or their 2,880 children placed in unnecessary harm. At the same time, we're praying for opportunities for your missionaries to speak the hope of Christ during this climate of despair to people who are waiting to hear the good news. The crisis can be disorienting and unnerving, but our God remains faithful. Our hope remains squarely fixed on Christ. Whether it's world war, economic collapse, or a health pandemic, your IMB has always and will continue to remain committed to the task you've entrusted to us, our one sacred effort to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to every nation. We covet your prayers, both for your missionaries and for the people they're seeking to reach. The Mexican-American War broke out just as our first two Southern Baptist missionary couples were boarding the ship and heading to China, and still they went. Within a few years, our nation was torn asunder by the Civil War, but your missionaries stayed on the field. Through two world wars and the Great Depression, your missionaries remained on the field. For 175 years, in the midst of crises and tragedies, while U.S. presidents have been assassinated and epidemics and pandemics have come and gone, Southern Baptists have not been one single day without a witness among the nations. As we deal with the coronavirus here at home, don't forget to pray for your missionaries, many of whom are also dealing with the virus overseas. Yet, as people fear death, the gospel rings true. Thank you for continuing to support your IMB missionaries.
Well, I thought that might be a word of encouragement for you today. And guys, the deacons, I'm sorry. If we can meet Tuesday night, I know somebody done put that on your schedule at 7. Wednesday's my grandson's birthday, and I'm supposed to be at a... He won't understand I'm at a deacon's meeting. So if we could change that to Tuesday night, guys, to 7 o'clock, I'd appreciate that so very much. I'm sorry. I should have thought that through a little bit more. If you're able, I'm going to ask you to stand. We'll have a prayer dedication on the offering, and then we'll all join in the doxology. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you today for this opportunity to be in your house. And God, under unusual circumstances, I pray, Lord, we'll just feel your presence, your hand of safety, God, that you'll just be with us. You'll speak to hearts. And we ask you now to bless this offering. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
I'm not going to tell you to shake, but you can remain standing and maybe wave at somebody beside you as the praise team comes.
certainly uncertain times. Wendell likes to shake hands. I like to hug people, so that's really difficult for us. But here's a big hug for everybody, and I know this is certainly uncertain times for all of us. But, you know, we got to remember our God is in control. Okay. So we're going to sing. Okay. So we are going to be singing, Open Up the Heavens. About a song. That guitar is boom, he stops that foot. And it's great. I love to watch it. I know he's into it.
God, I'm on my knees again. God, I'm begging.
Great job, y'all. Appreciate that so very much. This morning, you're in for a real treat. We're going to have a different speaker in each service. In the first service, Austin's going to come share with you the Word of Life. Austin Keefe's our new youth pastor. He's been with us since the 1st of January, just doing a great job. I've known Austin since the 9th grade. He's going to be a blessing to you this morning. Y'all give him your ears.
I remember turning that on a minute ago. We started to sing. I wanted to make sure I turned it off because I didn't want you to hear me only. That was some beautiful singing by the girls. And that last song was talking about needing God. We're on our knees needing Him right now. And I think that there's no more time than true than that right now with everything that's going on and everything out in the community. I read something this week, and I don't like to stay on Facebook too much, but I read something this week, and it's really probably the best thing I've seen on Facebook. And it said, people are, you know, worried and upset and going crazy about everything going on with the coronavirus. If people were just as worried about Jesus coming back, how much better of a world would it be? Because I'm telling you what, He's coming back. I mean, there's just no doubt about it. Jesus is coming back. And if we would have the same urge that we got to do something now, like running to the store and buying 5 packs of toilet paper, if we would have that same urge to understand that Jesus is coming back, how much better would our world be, and how much better would our walk be with God? And so, sorry, I had to mention one thing about it. Sorry, it's been a fun week. You know, trying to think of a title this week for my sermon, and bounced a couple ideas around, and what I came up with is, I'm only Christian. And I'm only Christian. And what I mean by that is, how many times do we mess up, and we have the thought in our head, I'm only human? Or husbands, how many times your wife fussed you or told you to do something, you didn't do it, and you said, I'm only human. Carrie might have heard that a couple of times already, sorry. Or children, your children do something wrong, or your children, you know, mess up, and you fuss at them, and you'll say, well, they're just kids. Or you'll have somebody else tell you they're just kids. That's always a fun thing to hear as a parent. But what does I'm only a Christian mean? I'm only a Christian don't mean it's an excuse to not do above and beyond for the Lord, but it means the fact that we are only Christians. You know, we're not God, we're only Christians. What I'm going to look at today is, in the efforts that we are only Christians, what are we doing in efforts to make this the perfect church for us Christians? So today I want y'all to go to Genesis chapter 45, verse 1, and the verses will be up on the screen. We've all heard the nursery stories about Joseph's brothers were jealous, and they tried to have Joseph killed because their father loved Joseph more than anybody else. We all know that where they sold him into slavery, they even dipped his coat of many colors in the sheep's blood, trying to trick their father into believing that Joseph was dead or being consumed by a ravaged beast. Through all the tests that Joseph would face, I still love the life of Joseph and the principle it teaches me. Verse 1, it says, Joseph could not refrain from self before all them that stood by him, and he cried, because every man go out from me, and there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth not my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years have the famine been in the land, and there are 5 years in which there still shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and a lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye, go up to my father, and say to him, thus saith Joseph thy son, God hath made me lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou, and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flocks, and thy herds, and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all thou hast come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that is my mouth speaketh unto you. And ye shall tell my father all of my glory in Egypt, and all that ye have seen, and ye shall haste and bring down my father hither. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all of his brethren and wept upon them, and after that his brethren talked with him. And the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come, and it pleased Pharaoh well and his servants. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, say unto thy brethren, this do ye, lay your beast, and go get into the land of Canaan. And take your father and your households, come unto me, I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and ye shall eat of the fat of the land. Now thou art commanded, this do ye, take your wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and your wives, and bring your father and come. Also regard not your stuff, the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. The story of this boy who everyone was so jealous of was sold into slavery. While he was in slavery, we read about the stories of the things that ways people would trick him into getting on the bad side of the Pharaoh. But yet we read here and it shows that through all this, Joseph still was guiding the Pharaoh. He was bringing the word to a land that he would not have been able to before because of where he was placed at. What I love about this is a lot of times we try to talk to ourselves as Christians that, are we where we need to be at? Are we as a church where we need to be at, doing the work for the Lord? I love this story because he goes from being a boy who could have been killed to being the one that saved everyone from famine. And you hear the word famine today and you think, well, is our country in famine right now? We still have a God on the throne. And we still have our faith in him should not be hithered right now. Our faith should only be built stronger for him to understand that his work is still here. And our love should be stronger as well. In verse 5, we see that Joseph explains to his brothers to not be saddened or feel guilty about what they've done to him. He explains that they're not the one that put him there. Yes, they are the one that threw him in the pit, and they are the one that eventually sold him to the slave traders. But they're not the one that put him there. God put Joseph there. He put him in that position. He put him where he needed him to be. Even though all the suffering and the stress and everything Joseph went through, he still understood he was doing it for God's will. In verse 18, it says that Pharaoh says to Joseph, "I will give you the good of the land. I will give you the good of the land. This man that started as a slave, risen to God, Pharaoh, and now is rewarded from favors from the Pharaoh. He's given him all the good of the land." In 20, it tells us that Pharaoh tells Joseph and his family they don't even need to bring their belongings from home because all the good of the land of Egypt is theirs. God had Joseph exactly where he needed to be. Exactly where he needed him. The reason I read this story this morning, even though we've probably heard it a million times in nursery stories, is the guilt that Joseph's brothers felt by selling him into slavery. We should feel a lot more tug than that on our hearts about what we did to Jesus Christ. Because even though we may not have been alive 2,000 years ago, been there through the crucifixion, we put him on that cross. Us Christians put him on that cross. Just like they sold him to slavery, our sins require Jesus' blood to save us from our sins. Without Jesus' blood, we had no way to heaven. We would never be good enough for the sacrifice that was made for us. Because guess what? We are only Christians. But that doesn't matter. We go on to read in John chapter 3, verse 17. "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." He placed Jesus exactly where he needed to be to pay for the debt of our sins. I'm here to tell you that even though we don't feel like we deserve that precious gift, God gave us that gift. He don't force it upon us, but he gave us the gift to understanding that if we believe that Jesus Christ comes in our heart, that we do have a place in heaven if we believe in him. In times like today, in times when the nation feels like it's falling apart, this is when we need to believe in him. This is when we have to fall back to our roots, fall back to what we learned in Sunday school, and understand that this ain't the first virus or disease that came around. But we're still here. But yet we are only Christians, so we are going to be scared. But that's when our faith should be restored in him. But I'm going to tell you that even though we do sometimes fall short and lose faith, and we do get scared, if we go to Romans chapter 3, verse 23, and sorry, Wendell, I know you've used this one, but I'm going to use it too. "For all have sinned to come short of the glory of God." It doesn't just say that Wendell has come short. It doesn't just say that Gary has come short, or Carrie, or anybody else in here. It says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Because we are only Christians. That is what we are. It's easy to wonder if we're where God wants us in life. I question if I was supposed to leave Skyview and go to Green Mountain, because I had a wonderful home at Skyview. You know, when I came back to Skyview, it was like I never left. You know, yes, there's a lot of new faces. I've met a lot of wonderful new people, and I can see that this church is constantly growing. But whenever I left Skyview and went to Green Mountain, there was a lot of fear because I didn't understand fully what God's plan was, which I never will. I mean, God's plans is just too complex for me to ever understand. But I was scared, and I was worried, and I was questioning my faith in God if that's what I truly needed to do. But God put me exactly where he wanted me. He put me at Green Mountain to become a better servant for him and to have a stronger desire to do his work so that when I came back to Skyview, that I was able to touch the lives of the children better than I was before because he had placed me exactly where he needed me. And I have faith in that he did that for me. In our effort to be a perfect church, we cannot shut out those that God has put in place to do his will. Sometimes since people in a church are only a Christian, they try to understand or forecast God's plan when they don't even understand it. We try to understand how to make this a perfect church when we don't understand how, because we don't understand God's plan. My sermon today is to show you that even in the biggest moments of the Bible, it was never the perfect moment that led to the perfect Christian or the perfect church. You know, a boy being sold into slavery, who would imagine that would be a man who would save a whole country from famine? Just by a little boy being sold into slavery. I asked everyone earlier to look at our church and see if it was a perfect church. I love this quote by Billy Graham, and it says, "There is no such thing as a perfect church. There is no such thing as a perfect church. If you find a perfect church and you join it, it is now not a perfect church. The church is made up of sinners that have been saved by the grace of God. We have to understand that we can't stand behind the fact that we are only Christians, that we are saved by Christ's blood, but we need to embrace that power, embrace the fact that we are Christians. Because even though we are only Christians, our God is not only Christian. Our God is not only anything. Our God is everything. He's mighty, he's powerful, he's forgiving, even though we definitely don't deserve it at times. He looks after our nation, even though at times like this, it feels like that we turn our back on him. Our God is everything we will ever need. And he is constantly there, whether we deserve it or not. So I hope you understand by the story of Joseph and the story of Christ that no matter how far we get away or no matter what we go through, that even though we're only Christian, our God is not. Our God is everything. If it's okay with Wendell, I'm sorry. I would like to say a prayer before I finish up. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you so much for allowing these people that has come out today, Lord, allowing them to understand that even though through these tough circumstances, that yet you are still on the throne. Lord, I pray, Lord, that if any hearts are worried or scared, that, Lord, you will let them understand that there's been times before, not perfect times at all, that people have still found Jesus and he's still on the throne. I pray, Lord, for all the families that are affected by this sickness and by this virus going around. I pray for the people who have may already received it, that you will touch their hearts and have a hand on their shoulder, Lord, and guide them through this process. Lord, just thank you for this church, this obedient church, even though, Lord, that it could have been so easy just to wake up this morning and understand that if we stayed at home, no one would look wrong at you whatsoever, because we definitely understand, but they still chose to come hear your word, Lord. We love you and praise you, and thank you for everything you've done, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Austin. I tell you, Austin has been a blessing since he's came back here to the church and just doing a super job with his youth. He's having to try to navigate with all this going on. It's really affected his upward flag football and cheerleading, but it'll all wash out. We all just have to look to the Lord and be patient. Everybody in the whole country's in the same boat, so we just have to navigate it best we can. If you're here this morning and God has spoke to your heart, or you maybe made a decision this week that you're going to put your trust in Christ, we're going to give you an opportunity to do that right now during this invitation. As Roger musicians come, we're going to have a time for you to respond. Or maybe you just want to come pray. We've got extra time here today. Just come pray about the coronavirus and those affected by that, and how our next few days are going to play out, and you're just seeking God's will, God's direction, we invite you to come during that time. For our other decisions, maybe this is a place you would like to call home, or being a part of a baptism, that type of thing, we give you opportunity to come. So if God is speaking to your heart and there is any reason whatsoever, do not put it off, do not push him away, respond this morning.
Let's stand, if you would, please, and we're going to sing hymn 305. 305, I have decided to follow Jesus. 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 No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back, no turning back. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus.
my cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back.
Thank you, Roger. Thank you, Austin. Thank all of you this morning. So throughout the day, again, just best practices. We'll try not to hug, and that's hard for us, and handshake. I just have to settle my hands and put them in my pockets. I'm such a habit of doing that, but enjoy the fellowship and throughout the morning, the Sunday school classes, same thing, should be hand sanitizers and all the classes as best we could. So again, just be safe. Any questions about any of the services, call, check the website, get a hold of Gary and I. We'll let you know, deacons, we can meet Tuesday night at 7. We'll kind of evaluate where we are and how to proceed forward. Again, this is uncharted territory for all of us. Gary and I have sweated and struggled and just trying to make the right decisions. And, you know, so we just need y'all's input, and we really appreciate that. So, again, I'm going to dismiss us in prayer. I'll be at the front. Gary will be at the back. Any questions about anything, it'd be a good time. Any update about your activities that you're a part of, let us know. We'll make the announcements for you. All right, let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this good group that's gathered this morning. And I pray, God, that you'll just reward them and for being here, God, that they'll know it's the right thing to do and everybody be safe as they go forward during these uncertain times. Again, Lord, we thank you for Austin and what him and his family, what they mean, and all those that work so hard here at the church. God, I pray, give them much fruit for their labor. Again, Lord, just go with us this week, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for being here today.